join with Adam in expressing our gratitude. Join with Adam in expressing our gratitude to all of you for being here today. It is a wonderful, wonderful day, and we are richly blessed of God. We are. Let me ask you a question this morning. If you could be any person in the Bible that you really wanted to be, or you would choose to be, who would you want to be? You ever thought about that? Of all the great biblical characters in the Bible, who would you want to be like? Would it be Adam and Diane walking, Adam and Eve walking barefooted? I'm sorry. I had Adam on my mind. Adam, I'm glad that new baby is here, and I am anxious to see that baby because Adam's been talking about how beautiful that baby was. I heard about a woman one time who got on a bus with her baby. And she walked on back toward the middle of the bus and sat down by a gentleman. And as she sat there trying to console her baby, the man noticed that she began to weep. And he looked at her and he said, "Honey," said, "what in the world is wrong with you?" And she said, "I'm just so upset." And he said, "Well, what are you upset about?" And she said, "Well, that bus driver, when I got on the bus a while ago, he told me that my baby was the ugliest baby that he had ever seen." And she said, "I think I'm just going to go give him a piece of my mind." And he said, "I don't blame you. I would too. Here, let me hold your monkey while you go." Well, who would you be if you could be anybody in the Bible that you might choose to be? Would it be Adam and Eve who might be running around barefooted in the Garden of Gethsemane without a fear of ever stepping on a rusty nail or perhaps a thorn somewhere? Wouldn't it be nice, what an experience to be able to perhaps play with a full-grown lion the way that you would play with a little dog? Think about it. Do you know that's the way it was in the Garden of Eden? The lion would lay down with the lamb. Would you like to perhaps stand in the sandals of Moses on the edge of the Red Sea, and to be able to hold out your hands, and when you got tired, they would hold them up for you as millions crossed the Red Sea on dry ground? Or perhaps it would be maybe Queen Esther, that beautiful woman, and maybe you would like to match your wits against the schemes of Haman in the Old Testament. Would it be perhaps that you would like to be like Deborah, who was a judge, or King David, the sweet singer of Israel, or perhaps Daniel, who entered into a den of lions that would never ever touch him or harm him in any way? Or would you like to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace and it would not consume you? Would you like to be like Mary, the mother of our Lord? Perhaps Amaziah. You may be thinking, who are those two? Amos and Amaziah. Who are those guys? Do you know in the book of Amos, and there is a little book in the Old Testament near the end of those 39 books of the Old Testament, that bears the name of this great prophet of God, one of the most unusual prophets in all of the Old Testament. There was a priest up in Bethel where the kingdom of God had been divided and the 10 tribes had been led away by a man by the name of Jeroboam, and all of this occurred after the death of King Solomon. His son, Rehoboam, who became a very corrupt and hard taskmaster over the children of God, brought about a split. And because of his harshness, a man by the name of Jeroboam, who was the son of Nebat, took those 10 tribes to the north, and the kingdom became divided. And when they went to the north, the 10 tribes, they set up what we call the worship of idols. There was a calf, Baal worship, in places like Dan and Beersheba. You probably remember hearing the name Amos before. This prophet was somewhat contemporary with a messianic prophet named Isaiah, and he prophesied about 750 years before the coming of Jesus Christ. Think about it, to be able to talk about the coming Messiah 750 years before he came into the world. And although he was from the southern kingdom, by the way, those two tribes that are left back at Jerusalem, God called upon him to prophesy up at Bethel, that is, against their idolatrous worship. Now, if you were living in Bethel, perhaps, or up at Dan and Beersheba, where they were worshiping all of these idols, it appeared that everything was going just great. While they were having a wonderful experience economically, unlike America right now, they were going through great times. It was kind of like the Roaring Twenties. It was kind of like it was back in the 80s and the 90s here in America, and the stock market was elevating and everything was going great. And everybody just lived as if, you know, it just couldn't get any better than this. King Jeroboam II, who followed his father, was a man who believed that everything was just going great as well. The economy was humming along. No problems. Materialism was rampant. That's all they really thought about. They never really thought about anything spiritually. And so God calls upon this man by the name of Amos. And Amos, and this is the odd thing about this story, is because Amos was just a herdsman. He is a man out there tending sheep. Unlike anybody that had been schooled in the rabbinical schools of theology, Amos was just a herdsman, and God called upon Amos to go and prophesy and warn the people up north that they need to get back to God. They were active in their worship. They were worshiping God, but they were just going through the motions. It was kind of like Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 8, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." He said, "They praise me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." It's kind of like a lot of people do sometimes in a house of worship. They come together and they go through the motions of worshiping, but down deep inside, they're not thinking about God. They're thinking about a lot of things. They're thinking about balancing their checkbook. They're thinking about, what they're going to be doing that afternoon. They think about where they're going to eat. They think about what they're going to be watching on television this afternoon. They think about what they're going to have to do tomorrow at the job. And their focus is not really upon God. Well, that's kind of the way it was up at Bethel. And so God sends Amos the prophet to warn them. You would think that those people would not go back into idolatrous worship after God had called them out, but now they had erected a calf. And then there's the other player in this story. His name is Amaziah. Now, Amaziah was a priest. And up in Bethel, they had what they call priest and high priest, and Amaziah was the high priest there. And so it was a little unusual here now for this herdman down in Jerusalem named Amos to go tell Amaziah, that is the high priest up at Bethel, that he is wrong and that he is not worshiping God in the right way. You know, that's not always easy. Sometimes we see people day in and day out who go about trying to please God, but they try to do it in their own way instead of doing it in the way that God commands. Oh, I hear a lot of people today say, well, it really doesn't make any difference what you do religiously as long as you are sincere. And when Amos approached Amaziah about their idolatrous worship, here was his response. They said, well, this calf, this golden calf, we're not really worshiping it. We're worshiping the God who's riding on this calf. He's just riding on it and we're worshiping him. And Amos said, not so. You know what God said in the Old Testament? That we're to have no other gods before Jehovah. It was one of the first commandments of all time in the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue, and it is still true today. God doesn't want us to worship images of any type, but to worship Him. And God wanted the sacrifices of His people to be made at one place, and that was at Jerusalem. It wasn't to be done at Bethel or anywhere else. God didn't want the kingdom divided. But because man chose to divide the kingdom, it was divided. So Amos goes up and says, look, you're going to have to amend your ways. You're going to have to get right with God. You know what? Isn't that what Christ did when he came into the world to try to get people to amend their ways? Give up your materialistic ideas. Give up your spirituality that is not in conformity to the will of God. And people don't like that. You know, that usually doesn't go very well, does it? It really doesn't. When someone from the corporate office shows up to tell the staff at the district office that their way of doing things is just not right. Well, sometimes that angers people. In the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul did that one time to a bunch of people who were ignorantly worshiping God, and he asked the question. He said, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Are you mad at me because what I'm telling you is of God? He said, look, I'm just the messenger bearing the message, and the message is from God. It's not my message. Well, that was kind of the reception that Amos received. They didn't want to turn. And Amaziah, being the resident high priest, according to Amos chapter 7 and verse 9, blasted Amos with these words. He says, you get out of here, you prophet. He said, you go back to the land of Judah, and he says, you earn your living down there. Don't worry about us. We'll do our own thing. And you know what? Isn't that the cry of the world today, religiously speaking? We'll do our own thing. We'll do what we choose to do. And he said, don't you be prophesying anymore up here in Bethel. Amos 7 and verse 12. And Amos says, I but heard the voice of God who called me as a herdsman, and who could but go? He said, the Lord took me from the tending of the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. The lion has roared, he said, and who will not fear? For the sovereign Lord has spoken, but who can prophesy? Amos, by the way, in this story, was more than just a whistleblower who shows up. Amaziah, on the other hand, was with corporate, I guess you could say. He was one of the fat cats of his day. He was kind of like the people up on Wall Street. He was kind of like Tony Hayward down at the CEO for BP, who said he'd kind of like to have his life back. I wonder what he thinks about all the people on the Gulf Coast. I wonder what he thinks about all the people who have lost their job because of the oil spill. You know, one thing the oil spill teaches me, and it ought to teach all of us, is that there are some things that man cannot fix. Sometimes we believe that we are invincible and that we can fix everything that comes along. Isn't it amazing how sometimes something like that can immobilize a nation? Isn't it amazing that the ashes that spew out of a volcano in Europe can suspend air flight for days and days on end? The hand of God that is moving. It just goes to show you, folks, that man is not powerful to change everything that goes on in this world. Amos or Amaziah? Who would you want to be like? Amaziah was really disturbed that Amos would come and tell him, hey, you're doing things wrong up here. After all, wasn't he a high priest? Wasn't that really important? But he was like a lot of people. The world is full of Amaziahs today. I have people tell me all the time, and they speak with that attitude of Amaziah. I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. Sometimes they make statements like this. Well, I just don't believe in the teaching of the church, and I don't believe in the Bible. I just let my heart guide me where I need to go. Well, believe it or not, the Word of God says that the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can trust it? There is a way that appears right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. You know what Amaziah said, or rather Amos said to Amaziah when he refused to change and to turn from his wickedness? Listen to what God said to his prophet, and I'm going to tell you it came to pass too. He said, therefore, this is what the Lord says. He said, your wife will become a prostitute in the city. Isn't that amazing? Your wife will become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters will fall by the sword. Your land will be measured and divided up, and you yourself will die in a pagan country, and Israel will certainly go into exile away from their native land. Amos 7 and verse 16. Now, Amos wasn't going to get into a spitting contest, if you will, with Amaziah. He wasn't going to start trading insult for insult. He simply told the truth about what happens to those who insist in living their own way. And there are many people like that in today's world. They choose to do their own thing. They want to follow their own conscience. Well, that's okay if your conscience is educated to the Word of God. But if your conscience is void of understanding and it is void of truth, you better educate it to the right one, and that is God. Sometimes people think they know everything. I hear people say sometimes, you know, they quote scriptures that are not even in the Bible. It amazes me sometimes the things that people say that you won't even find within the Word of God. And they act so spiritual and so religious. Sometimes I marvel at the ignorance of a lot of folks. There was a girl one time. How many of you think that blondes are smart? And all the blondes said amen. Are blondes dumb or not? There was a girl visiting her blonde friend one time who had acquired two new dogs and asked what their names were. And one blonde responded by saying one was named Rolex and one was named Timex. And her friend says, well, I've never heard of anybody naming their dogs Rolex and Timex. What kind of dogs are they? And the blonde said, hello, watchdogs. Some people never get it. Some people never understand that the Word is right, and sometimes our heart and our conscience can be wrong. Amaziah, being a high priest, thought there's no way that I can be wrong. After all, I am the priest of God, but I may be worshiping idols, and I may not be doing it in the right way, but after all, isn't God going to accept it because I'm doing it in sincerity? Did you know in the Old Testament, again, in the book of Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? What was going to have to happen was the fact that the people of the north and the people of the south were going to have to come together on truth, not upon opinions, but upon truth. For can two walk together unless they be agreed? I think one of the lessons in this story is that people can wait until it's too late to repent of their sin. And that's exactly what Amaziah did. If there is a message in all of this for us today, and I'm going to tell you, this is the message. that you can wait until it is too late to repent and get right with God. And that our worship unto God must be just as correct as what we call our righteous living. God really concerned about how we worship? Sure he is. Why, there are a lot of people on Sunday that will not observe what we call the Lord's Supper because in their heart they feel that everything is okay when they don't. But if my Lord instituted it, and the example in the scripture is that they did it every Lord's Day, why would I not want to do it? And even though there are a lot of folks that say, well, it's just a meaningless experience, if we do it every Sunday, who's the problem with God, or is it with me, or the person who says it loses its vivacity and its importance? Surely it is not with God. When the Bible tells us that we gather together to sing and honor God with the voice that God has given unto us, should we do it in some other fashion? Is the church about entertainment? Is that our role here? Well, it is with a lot of churches. They want to be very entertaining, and they reach out to people with their entertainment. Let me tell you something. The shallowness of that is based upon the fact that someday the entertainment will stop. And when it stops, what happens? What happens when the entertainment is not as good some Sunday as it was the Sunday before? Church is not, the worship of God is not about entertainment. But it is about worship. It is about kissing the hand of God. And just as God would choose prophets and his own prophets and his own way, he chooses how we worship. And what we do in an assembly of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is based upon what the Word teaches, not upon what we feel. We didn't observe the Lord's Supper this morning because we chose to do that, but because God chose to do that. We sang together this morning these great hymns of faith. Sammy did a great job of leading us in these songs of faith. We gave you an opportunity to give of your financial resources, because that's what God teaches. Some choose to do it in different ways. They choose not to do it at all. But I want to do it according to the Bible. You know, one of the great fearful things about this book of Amos has to be a statement that is found in the book of Amos chapter 8. It's the next to the last chapter, beginning in verse 11 through 14. Because what happens, God says that someday there's coming a famine. Now he says, and the prophet says this, Amos says this to Amadiah, he says, look, I want you to know something. This is not going to be a famine where you have no food and where you have no water. But he says it will be a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. And do you know what? It's happening all over America. It is. People are abandoning the teaching of the Word of God. And there is a famine. I'm honest with you today, folks. I'm telling you, there is a famine of the hearing of the Word of God in America. People have turned a deaf ear for so long. And do you know what God says? And he says, in that famine, he said, they will finally seek after me. And they will go to the east, and they will go to the west, and they will go to the south, and they will go to the north, seeking after the Word of God, but they will not find me. Because God had given them up. You know, I think a person can turn a deaf ear to the Word of God long enough that God turns away his ear. Sometimes we play cat and mouse with God. I've often told you before, we want to play let's make a deal with God. But what happens is God doesn't deal that way. When we go through a crisis in our life, we reach out to God and we say, God, please get me out of this. I'll serve you all of my life. And God gets you out of that crisis and you turn your back upon God. You know what we ought to be preaching from Washington, D.C. is the message of God. The message of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, that's the only thing that's going to turn this nation around. And it is a message that needs to be proclaimed over and over and over again. When I see people holding on to the truth of God today, you know what? I see them as people like Amos. Who are preaching to a crowd of people sometimes that are totally disinterested in getting right with God. And that sounds somewhat pessimistic. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. You listen to people talk. How many people do you know of today and just in conversation talk about Jesus? How many you know of talk about God? How many of you know of talk about heaven? How many of you know that talk about the church or the Word of God? We talk about oil slicks. We talk about the economy. We talk about the weather. We talk about sporting events. But seldom do we talk about God. Now, that's what was happening up at Bethel. And that's the very thing that caused God to prevail upon a herdsman by the name of Amos to bear the message. They chose not to receive it. You know what? That's that same message today. Is get right with God. Judgment's coming. And people delay. And they wait. And they wait. Until it's too late. And then what happens when a family member dies out of Jesus that is not a Christian? They want the preacher to get up and preach sweet nothings about the deceased in the casket. And talk about how there's hope for them in heaven. When there is no hope. Folks, it's a tough message, but it's true. That's why God calls us to repent and get right with Him. But the time will come when it'll be too late. And when you draw your last breath and your heart beats for the last time, and they gather and take your body to the silent city of the deceased, it's over. So this morning, I've said all that to say this. This morning, if you're not in a relationship with Christ, your future is hopeless. Now, whether you choose to accept that, you may be like those in Bethel and perhaps resent me like Amaziah did Amos. And that's your call. That's a choice you make. But it does not nullify the fact that what I'm telling you this morning is true. And so if you really want to enter into a relationship with Christ this morning, and to make your calling and election sure, know that when you leave this world, that you're going to be with God, then you better act upon your faith. And to act upon it means that you come to acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord this morning, repenting of your sin, making a decision in your mind to change your ways that are not consistent with Christian living, and then by being baptized, lowered in water, and raised out of that water at the command of God. It's not a church ordinance. It's not something that I came up with. I didn't originate the command. God gave it, and so therefore we must follow it. And if you believe that this morning with all of your heart, and you're ready to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, and why would you delay? Why would you postpone, knowing that the time could very well come when you would lose the desire, number one, to do it, or that the opportunity might be taken away? And if you're a Christian and you perhaps have gone back to the ways of the world, you've chosen to go back to the old walk of life, and you're living like the devil and for the devil, I'm going to tell you something. God knows that. He's not oblivious to what you're doing. You don't fool God. And He knows. And the time may come when He will give up on you, just like the Scripture says He did on others in Romans chapter 1. God can give you up when you give Him up. And so we're going to sing a song of encouragement and invitation this morning.